are in a City for You podcast. Welcome.
Hello, Susan.
Yes, hi, Anastasia.
That's perfect name pronunciation. I mean, as good as it gets.
I'm going bloopers.
Yeah. I'm very happy to see you now during lunch break.
Yes, same here. And very exciting. We stay close by. So good to catch up.
Yes. And the first time we met, it was at Creative Mornings. He and she stuff.
Yes.
Perfect. And then I felt like, yeah, I want to talk to you more.
Yeah.
So here we go.
Yes. Perfect. Thank you for inviting me.
Of course. And I know nothing about you, so it's good if you introduce yourself a little bit. And then we go with the questions.
I am Sezil Elvani. I'm currently working at Alva Labs in Stockholm as a customer success manager. Mm-hmm. I come from India, a place called Bangalore in South India, mm-hmm. and which is like the Silicon capital of India. So a lot of tech companies, and I had the pleasure of working at like LinkedIn and Deloitte in the employer branding space. Mm-hmm. And I also had my own startup in India with like learning and development. So that's something mm-hmm. that I'm very passionate about, like working with professionals and students and training. So that's something I really love doing. Mm-hmm. And I moved to Stockholm about a year ago, which is pretty exciting. It's a lovely country to be in, and Stockholm is such a nice city. Mm-hmm. So I'm really getting to know the pulse of it, and it's very exciting that you invite me to this podcast today, because it's all about cities. Exactly. And I'm like, which city? I've lived in Bangalore all my life, moved mm-hmm. to Stockholm recently, mm-hmm. lived in another city called Delhi, which is the capital of India, for mm-hmm. about 2 years. Then it's very interesting to be in like different spaces and how these cities are like different in their own, you know, world and space.
Yeah. And now also you live in Kista, which is also, they call it the Silicon Valley of Sweden.
Right,
so
exactly.
So you're moving from one valley to another valley.
Absolutely.
Which neither are valleys, or but Silicon yeah. valleys, but yeah.
yeah.
There is this exactly. symbol that they attach to them.
So true.
So, okay. Thank you for mentioning also which cities you've lived in straight away.
Mm-hmm.
We can move on to the questions.
Yes.
The first question is, what is a city for you?
That's a very, very interesting question, Anastasia. Like when you think about like cities, right? Cities are very dynamic and they're very different. And it feels like each of the cities have their own personalities.
Mm.
So that's something that I've been thinking of very much as well, where in a city, like different areas also evoke different emotions, right? So like when I was young, like I have lived for 25 plus years in Bangalore, mm-hmm. India. And when I think of Bangalore, I think of this one area where I lived most of my life, right? And that emotion, that feeling, like that is Bangalore for me,
mm-hmm.
right? Like my house, my friends, my neighbors, my school, mm-hmm. And food.
Yeah.
Like having that whole setup makes it very like home and city to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you probably realize a city is, or where you want to live, could be some place where you feel at home, where you have convenience, and a lot of options to try different things
mm-hmm.
that you can probably, hopefully, never get bored
yeah.
doing.
Okay.
So that is what a city is to me, like with convenience, with having options and a mishmash of cultures and people. So which is very cool, and which I think when I moved to Stockholm as well, and now when I live in Kista,
mm-hmm.
that somehow has become that, where like you have public transport, which is convenience, you have a mall which is at walking distance, my gym is right across through from the mall, like I can do so many, and my Swedish classes are also like 10-minute walk.
Yeah.
So having everything around makes it so much like I can do things that I want to do, and mm-hmm. then also explore the city around, you know, and do a lot of things. So I think it's like a good mix of convenience and culture.
Interesting. And what you also mentioned in the beginning is that when you think back to your hometown, you think about your area, and then of course to some other person who also lives in the same city, they have a totally different image.
Exactly. Absolutely. And I think it's Also, like, I was, say, born in Bangalore, so I have lived all my life mm-hmm. in Bangalore. So that idea versus some of my friends who moved to Bangalore
yeah.
is very different,
mm-hmm.
right? And they stay in, like, completely different areas, which mm-hmm. are, like, new, upcoming, and I've been in, like, the old part in Bangalore.
Yeah.
So we usually have conversations about, like, which is the better part of the city. Oh. And, like, you know, no, I mean, I don't consider that part Bangalore at all because it's so new and it's not part of my city
mm-hmm.
versus something that like is very close to me and I'm like, you need to come to the real Bangalore.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, some competition there.
Yes.
But also it's now I'm bringing my own thoughts here, but
yes.
it could be even similar to a person. We may be the same person. Mm-hmm. I know this person mm-hmm. from work mm-hmm. and you know the same person from, I don't know, some hobby.
Yeah.
And it could be a totally different side of the same
exactly. Yeah.
persona.
Yeah. And it's like what you make of the city, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
and like how you're able to, probably some people really love countrysides, living in smaller cities. Some
yeah.
people really love bigger cities. So it's really different how people perceive different things.
Okay.
And sometimes it's also a very interesting way wherein, especially in India, when you see, or even here, for example, a lot of people come from small cities to bigger cities. Like
mm-hmm.
that migration is also very big for
yeah.
jobs, for work, for quality of life, to meet more people,
mm.
so that you start seeing a certain age group and that starts, you start having those circles.
Mm. But now we keep talking about the same thing, but just
mm-hmm.
swapping it.
Mm-hmm.
So the next question
mm.
would be, what are you for the city?
Yeah, like I think that question is, it's like the city is so much for us. But
mm-hmm.
what are we to the city, right? I think that's a very, very nice question to like bring about, to think what we contribute to a city.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was in Bangalore as well, we used to do also, I said I was running this startup, right? It was
yep.
called Fire.fly, and we used to design like a lot of learning experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And along with these learning experiences, we would sometimes also design walks. Like, you know, you could explore different areas of, you know, people's lives, food walks, for example, or
mm-hmm.
like, you know, a complete different area in like different times and nighttime or daytime.
Mm-hmm.
And we would try to evoke curiosity
yeah.
amongst people. So that was a part of some of our projects that we were doing and which was very exciting
mm-hmm.
to add something to the city
yeah.
that we belong to, right? Because all of us make Stockholm what it is today,
yeah.
right? Like all of us from different cultures, like you came here 3 years ago, I came here a year ago, I know someone who just moved or has been like born here.
Mm-hmm.
So I think like what we contribute to a city could be very interesting and how we influence it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what I am to the city is something that I think about sometimes, like, do I want to add a bit of my own personal culture to Stockholm,
mm-hmm.
right? Do I want to probably sell handicrafts, or
yeah.
do I want to make like masala tea for strangers? What part of culture do you want to bring in
mm-hmm.
to a city is very, very exciting to me.
Yeah.
And that's where probably, as you see in Shista as well, you have like different Indians come and open like Indian restaurants, you have like
yeah.
French bakeries, you have like so many different everything from food to culture
mm-hmm.
to even some of the plays and drama that you go to is influenced from like
yeah.
all over the world. So it's like how we are actually making the
mm.
city the city that it is.
Yeah.
So that's what that's how I like to think about it, of how we can influence the city.
Mm.
And that sometimes I think about it like, do I want to do certain things? Do I want to have a small venture? Do I want to, like, you know, meet people, strangers, explore
mm.
different ways?
Yeah.
And that's, I'm so happy to meet you. Like, you do
yeah.
so many of these city walks, and I'm going to come to all of them, Anastasia.
Ooh,
like,
so
you have
awesome,
to call
yeah.
me.
Nice. But also, I already see that you are becoming this active part of the city, and I'm saying it through Creative Mornings,
mm.
like taking this Creative Mornings host hat on. You have been very active. When you came, even the discussions you had on the table,
mm.
you've been participating very actively. That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that is natural for you.
Yes. And it's so nice to hear stories from different people, like
yeah.
in the Creative Morning session of Ethos.
Mm-hmm.
It was so nice to hear people from different countries and like,
yeah.
again, like their culture or like their childhood memories. And I love stories. So
Ooh.
I think that just, you know, like attracts me to listening to people and learning more from them.
Mm-hmm. That
yeah.
was a very good session for you to attend. I'm happy.
It was. You hosted it so well.
Oh, thanks so much. Yeah, that was a very last minute improvised session.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that you enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was nice. Very well facilitated.
The next question mm-hmm. is a bit far off, and every time it feels a bit random, but it is an important question to me, so I'm bringing it up, whatever happens in this talk. How does artificial lighting of a night city affect you?
Yeah, that was a very different question, actually. Like, when I heard it, I'm like, I don't even know if I'm interpreting it correctly, but...
Interpret it as you wish.
Yeah. So, I think, like, I have been thinking a lot about, like, the sunlight, for example. So, when the sun goes down and you have, like, day and night, what makes night so dangerous or so scary, right? Like, why are we told as kids to not venture out on dark streets? And that fear is so inbuilt. Like, I myself sometimes feel like, oh, if I'm walking, if I come late in the night, I'm like, oh, is someone following me? Is there enough light on the street? Am I scared? So, and that's when I think, like, why does the sun setting, which is such a natural phenomenon, affect how we think about light or feel safe around it? Right? So, I think that that's what, like, was my is my comment to this question about, like, artificial light in a city. I think it's sometimes important to have those, you know, like street lights, for example, to feel safe in a city. I don't know, like, I don't even know if crimes happen more at night or are they just reported more at night, like what it is.
Neither. And there have been research on that from probably people who are interested in lighting in this phenomena. I'm very glad you brought it up. But basically, very briefly, there is no difference. It's not that crime happens more during nighttime. No. But that's how it is perceived. So there is a lot of statistics showing that it's the same. I mean, during daytime, it's probably easier to commit a robbery or whatever. But unconsciously, we feel that it is, like, we see less, and it gives a signal to our brain, apparently, that I don't see enough, I don't get enough information, I don't have control, something's going to happen.
Oh, wow, that is very interesting.
It is. And there is, I mean, there is a lot to it. But talking about it here and there already makes me interested in that topic and questioning how I feel and how others feel.
Exactly, and I think that that's what, like, you know, it is like having those street lights are very, very important. I used to feel like even in India, I'm like, if the street light is not working on these roads, I will never walk on them. Like, it's very like that. But on the other hand, I have been to like a Himalayan trek and like another place with my sister in like Madhya Pradesh. We were like in the middle of a bus journey in the night, and we got down to go to the restroom, and then we just look up at the sky, and oh my god. Where there is like no lights affecting the space, the night sky looks stunning. Like I've never seen those many stars in my life. That natural light, like it's embedded. That feeling is embedded in my brain. Like that vision of like, oh my god, where are we? Like it's like the world is around us. So that. It's very exciting, and that's what sometimes I miss when I like go up on the terrace of my building here and I look up and I'm like, I can't see as many stars because there is so much light around us, right? And even when we were trying to find the northern lights when they were seen in Stockholm a few months ago, and I was like, please someone dim the lights, like, I want to see the sky. So I think it's very very different. Some lights of course can be very annoying and unnecessary, and some lights in public spaces, transportation systems, normal parkways can make everyone feel safe in the city.
It's a fine balance.
Exactly.
I'm glad you mentioned both. With the sky, I also, it's interesting to hear when someone has experienced that. Often they mention it and it becomes like a memory they carry through their life.
Yeah, have you been to such places and experienced?
I have. And it's been recently. Maybe there was when I was a child, but when I think back to like when I was walking during the night somewhere in the suburbs of Moscow, there were a lot of street lights that would be affecting it. So I would be looking up and thinking, wow, so many stars, but I would not see the whole of it. It would be as much as I could see. But then this August, there was a moment I was out in the archipelago, outside, like it's still Stockholm. But there were no lights, and I was in a small boat. So, and it was one night with clear skies. And when I looked at that, that's what they're talking about. That's what it is. And it feels so deep, so many levels, so many stars, the Milky Way, everything. Wow.
Exactly. Yeah.
And also it was a very thin moon, because sometimes even the moon affects it.
Yes, yes. Mm. Yeah, and sometimes I feel it's very weird, but yesterday, like when I saw the moon in Stockholm, I was like, it's so big. Okay. And when I see it from India, I'm like, it doesn't look that big. Is it because I'm in the north? I don't know, but it looks different.
I mean, it could be something about this effect when it's close to the horizon. Then we compare it to the horizon and it looks bigger.
Interesting. Yeah.
You saw it anyway. That's good.
It's so good and it's like so big.
Yeah. It's a good place.
Like you have been working in this artificial light space for a bit, right? Like, what are your thoughts on night lights? Like, I'm just curious. You've interviewed so many people.
I did. I think I have too many thoughts to try and condense them about that topic. But in general, if you ask me personally, I have not been having these thoughts that darkness means unsafe. Mm. So for me, I generally feel more comfortable than what I hear from other people in the dark street. I kind of assume that things will be fine. And maybe at some point it will change, because I didn't have any dramatic experiences connected to that. So, I mean, that's easily done. But so far, I often feel like it could have been much dimmer. We don't need so many lights. We don't need... If it was me, I would choose to switch off a lot of advertisement lights in the city, a lot of lights that are there to sell.
Yes. Yeah. Even company names on buildings and all of that is very bright.
Exactly. And I see the point. There is this economical drive in it. But sometimes I'm questioning. I mean, there is no one who will buy anything there right now.
Yeah.
Of course, it's good to have this image for them that they know there is this shop here when they pass by during the day.
Exactly. But is it really necessary? Is the question. And maybe it differs from city to city as well, right? Like how you feel and how the city vibe is. And different areas, maybe like the city center could be very vibrant and, you know, could do without lights. But some areas, residential areas, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. And there are even different lights that we could put there to compromise.
Mm-hmm. Like, that is true.
Like, as an example, there are some bat-friendly light recipes that make sure that bats, for example, or some insects don't see it as light. So bats and these insects, I don't know which ones exactly, can pass through and do their night activities, because otherwise if they see light, they don't hunt, for example.
Oh, that's very interesting. I did not know the impact that these lights could have on these night animals.
They do. It kind of messes their daily rhythm.
Yes.
But this light that I'm talking about right now, it looks very red to us.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't look like the best light you've seen in your life. Mm. But you can see the road. You can see that a person coming to you. So maybe it's about these compromises that we as a society need to find.
Exactly. And maybe we could have some of these tests, like spaces where you could try it out and like make people feel how it is.
There is one street in Järfälla, far from here, with this red bat friendly light.
Give me the address. Done.
Go there.
Deal.
No, no, talking about darkness. This week is the first week when the time switched to winter light.
Yes.
So now we'll be experiencing darkness even more when going from work.
Yes.
And I think it's every year, I feel like it's a moment when I feel the darkness more.
Yes. Yeah. Like yesterday I was like, it's 4 p.m. Is it getting dark already?
Yes.
And that's something that I experienced when I first came to Sweden. Like I came in December.
Okay.
And it was like the sun was rising at 10 a.m. and setting at 2 p.m. And that was partly why I got a job so soon. And I was like, I need to get out there. Like, I cannot be inside. And like, I need to experience the life that just goes on in darkness.
Exactly.
What does that look like? So, that was a good motivation to get out there quickly.
So you got a shock in the beginning and now you're kind of... in the body.
Totally. And it's so different, right? Like in summer, people are out till like midnight and so later. Different. The city is so different.
Yeah.
And the vibe.
I agree.
And contrast to winters, again, I don't know, it's colder and quieter.
Yeah. I've noticed that as well. Mm. We keep it there and move on to the next question. Mm-hmm. Because now people are starting to go out for their lunch.
Yes.
which makes it more loud. And the next question is from the previous guests. Now you'll hear the question from the previous guests.
Yes.
Where is the best outdoor place where you have experienced night tide?
I haven't really ventured too much out at night, especially in India, and mostly in India where I have lived most of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And or I have just been to like friends' places, or you know, people's houses,
yeah,
or like parties sometimes, restaurants, mm-hmm, but not like any outdoor space.
Yeah.
But interestingly, when I was on a trip to Cambodia,
mm-hmm,
it was like with a group of friends, and we were just walking on the streets at,
yeah,
night, and that was so lovely.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I also happened to meet my husband, who, like, ooh, 5 years ago, and like randomly out of nowhere, right? And like
that's a story.
Yes, over coffee sometimes,
yeah,
but that, like, I think, like, just walking and experiencing the streets at night in a city can be so different from what they look in the morning or in the daytime,
mm,
right? Like, it was so much more calmer and,
yeah,
more peaceful, and you could, like, notice different scents and smells,
yeah,
and the road and the nature.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is like what I would do in a city at night. And sometimes even in Stockholm, it's nice to just walk on the streets,
yeah,
to, for any other sensual experiences that you could get, because your vision, as you said, cannot always support you the,
mm-hmm,
best at that,
yeah,
time.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something that I really enjoy, and like just walk around and explore neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
Our own neighborhood could look so different,
totally,
in the night.
Yeah.
So,
but yeah,
yeah,
interesting that you mentioned these different senses that you,
mm,
can use more of during the nighttime.
Yeah, like I remember like this particular flower in India, which is called like Raat Ki Rani, which is queen of the night. And that blooms only on certain months, like I think springtime.
Mm-hmm.
And in the night they bloom.
Wow.
So you can like actually see those flowers, and it also has these very nice smell, which you, sometimes you don't even know where the flower is, but you know the scent.
Uh-huh.
And it's very nice to just, you know, in the night, like drive by those roads and like have that,
mm,
experience.
You probably attract insects or, like,
exactly,
pollinators.
I think so, yeah.
With the smell.
With the smell.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah.
But also, I mean, this little detail of the story that you met your husband on that,
mm,
street of
Cambodia.
Cambodia?
Yeah.
It's like, go out in the street at night, you might meet your future,
exactly,
partner.
Never know. Give it a shot.
Exactly.
Life is about adventure.
Yeah. Interesting. That's a beautiful story.
Yeah.
I like it. Hmm. And yeah, it was general, but also there is a place to it and there is a reason to it. And I'm glad you like shared whole what,
yeah,
you felt and which senses you used. That's,
mm,
beautiful.
Yeah.
Next thing is,
yes,
that I want you to ask a question to the next guest.
Yes. So I think the question I am curious about, which I think I also asked you briefly, would be like,
mm-hmm,
how would you reimagine streetlights in cities? Like, what color should they have? What shape? Should they not be on the top? Should they be on the pavements? Like, if someone had to reimagine how streetlights need to be manufactured or put today,
yeah,
how would that look like?
Nice, very interesting question. Especially even thinking that now a lot of streetlights are still following the same shape as they had when it was gas,
yes,
and all these other that came after,
yeah,
don't remember, and now we use the same shape because it's been used before, but
exactly,
we don't have a lot of reason to use the same shape.
Yeah, it's their time for innovation.
Cool.
Mm. Thank you.
I'm very glad that we had this chat.
Same here. Thank you for inviting me. I really loved, and I look forward to listening more to the podcast and going on walks with you.
Yeah. Again, thank you so much. And keep chatting, but already out of this podcast.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you for being part of A City for You. If you want to carry on the discussion, feel free to join for the next episode that will be coming out. You can also follow the project on Instagram, Facebook, and Telegram. Enjoy A City for You.